First of all, I want to welcome you to St. Patrick's. This place was special to Don Bitzberger. This was his parish, and it had been for over 25 years. And the relationships that he built here, I think, influenced him, but I know they influenced us. I want to thank Reverend Dr. Mike Morgan for assisting today at the service. Mike was Don's assistant when he was the rector of Church of the Redeemer in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. Glad that you're here and being a part of this service. I have to tell you that Don was a planner. You know that. He had a clear idea about what he wanted this service to be about. He wanted it to be about the resurrection, and he wrote a page about it and left it, kept updating it year by year, because he wanted this service to have a consistent theme. He chose the music, chose the lessons, made sure everything was known about what he really wanted as part of this service. It's a little daunting to think that I should offer words about the resurrection on behalf of Don Bitzberger, someone who spoke about the resurrection all the time, studied the resurrection, taught us about the resurrection. As you know, as you can read from this, and as you heard in the reflections, Don was a man of great accomplishment. Don has amazing influence on the people that he encountered in his life, and he considered all of those people important. You can see it in his wife, Diane, his children, Martha and Tim. It expands out into the grandchildren, to his friends, the people he encountered here at St. Patrick's and around Washington. But all of these things can encapsulate the depth of a person's life. And that's certainly true for Don. We heard Jay mention that Don was the chaplain of the self-named Senile Sinners. He loved that group because they made him laugh. They gave him something that he took with him every day. When I would go to see him at places, I just mentioned their name and he would start to laugh. One of those things when I went to enjoy a meal with them that you could see that he was in his element. It was those relationships that Don relied upon in this church. It's what Don needed in the church. He offered his gifts and talents to this place. The church has been a part of his life for most of his 89 years, if not all of them. In my first month here at St. Patrick's, Don took me to lunch at the Cactus Cantina. He gave me a ride, didn't know how to get there. It was very helpful. And he told me his story and offered me his support here at St. Patrick's. And I have to tell you that that support never wavered. And for that, I'm eternally thankful. Now, as you heard, he did offer the bits of Bible class. It's offered on Sunday mornings here at St. Patrick's, and I know there's many of you out there who were part of it. He had a cult following. Now, as you heard Jay said, there's a wide range of intellectual pursuits that existed within that group. There were the experts. Peter and David Lambert come to mind. And there were others, Jay, Charlie, to name a few, who were less learned. But all of them were accepted by Don. There was no judgment there. He offered his many years of experience, his knowledge, and he went way beyond what he needed to do. He went way beyond what he needed to do. He could have walked in and taught the class without doing anything. But he had a love for teaching, He had a love for the Bible. He had a love for God and Jesus. He had a love for church. And it came through in that class. It came through in who he was. Now, as I mentioned, Don wanted the theme of this service to be resurrection. So it is appropriate that we are gathered here on a Sunday afternoon, the day of the resurrection, and that we heard the gospel he chose for this service, the resurrection appearance on the road to Emmaus. And the story begins with two unknown disciples traveling on a footpath between Jerusalem and Emmaus on Easter day. And that morning they had heard rumors of resurrection, but they were not convinced. All they knew was that the tomb was empty and that two women, who like them were disciples, claimed to have seen an angel. So as they traveled together on that Emmaus road, they wondered what they might do next. Now we don't know, but we expect that they had given up on their calling, that is, to follow Jesus. I mean, they had seen him nailed to the cross. They had witnessed the scourging and possibly even witnessed him taking his last breath. For all they knew, Jesus was gone. His body stolen and everything hoped for lost. With all of the events happening in Jerusalem earlier that day and in the days preceding, it is not clear why those two disciples journeyed to Emmaus. Were they going home? Were they trying to find work? Were they in search of safe refuge from religious persecution? Or was it an escape from the overwhelming despair of those preceding days? We don't know the answer. But we do know why Jesus chose, and we don't know why Jesus chose to appear to them. But what we do know is that the two disciples were so consumed with their own grief and their own sadness and their own needs that they failed to recognize Jesus as they walked along the road. They spent the entire day walking with him. He had told them and revealed all of this knowledge about the scripture, and they still didn't know it was Jesus until he broke bread with them. The power of this story after 2,000 years is why I think Don chose it for this service. The story reminds us that Jesus appears in the most unlikely places. In the conversations we have with strangers or with someone who isn't part of our group. The power of this story is to know that Jesus is resurrected and that we can come to know this. We can experience the resurrection by paying attention to the people we encounter along the paths of our lives. It is so often the case that we march through life listening only to ourselves, judging others' motives, thinking about the ways that we can be saved, and not engaging the love of Christ that infuses all people. But we know that Don experienced the resurrection. He heard Jesus' call and he followed it. And as Paul, one of Don's favorites, said, "For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." On this day, we celebrate the life of Don Bitzberger. But we also celebrate his glory. Because Don continues to live not only in our hearts, but in the very fiber of our being and in the kingdom of God. Don's love for all of us is tied up with the love of God. And that means that it will continue to be known forever. I think Don would leave this message with you. Pay attention to the people you encounter on the way, just as he did. Don't get so wrapped up in your own fears and your desires, and instead think about our interconnectedness with God. We are all one family, united together in God's inseparable love. I do believe that is the way Don walked in the resurrection. And we can carry that forward from this place into this world right now. Amen.